Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
And see whence come your help. Hallelujah. Coastal, it's lovely to be together. Yay. Thanks for the opportunity to be able to be together. One wonderful joy. Those that are visiting for the first time, Ohio's in the town. Yay, it's great to have you with us. Finding it warm here, and us Floridians are finding it a little nippy. Hey, Rachel's brother, greetings from Canada. How are you? You good? Yeah? We're happy, man. We're happy. Hallelujah. Fantastic. Yeah, we're in Florida. We're very happy. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, praise the Lord. Eh? So, yeah, just a joy to be able to, as we are allowing the kids to go out right in the beginning, and again, just bless us as we adjust. And the musicians adjust, and sound guys adjust. We got the bulletin that are going to be obviously the new format. Rachel, thank you. Great job for doing that. And I'm looking forward to the testimonies next week. Looking forward to hearing all that God is doing. You know, and it's going to be a fun time. It's two meetings that really are blessing people during the week. It's the Hope Ministry. Happens on Monday, and then there's Barry's Bible study on Wednesday, and it's so rich. You know what you need to look out for? This March, we've got date night. We're allowing those that have children to come and leave their children with us here in the building while you go out for a date night. Now, we are restricting it to coastal people only, okay? We don't want to do a date night for the whole community. That would be a bit much, eh? Hallelujah. And then we got a great family fun day, because it's going to be, obviously, before it gets too hot, we're going to have that out in the country, during Maria's farm, so look out for that. All that in the bulletin, forthcoming attractions. Hallelujah. I really want the word to go deep today, because when it does, it just transforms us and changes us. And so, thank you for the privilege of allowing me to minister the word this morning. Hallelujah. So, Father, thank you that as we come in and look at your word this morning, that it becomes a life-transforming time that we have around your word. And so as we feast around the table of your word this morning, we thank you. We thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we also have notes. You can take notes on the back side of this. So you can just, there's pens, should be pens in the pouch in front of you. If you don't, wave your hand like this. The ushers will come running and give you a pen. And we would want you to take notes. It's important that we kind of look at that. So this year we're kind of looking at the fullness of God, and it's a year of God's fullness, and we want to be able to approach it in so many different angles. We want the fullness of God in our lives. We want the fullness of God around our lives. We want the fullness of God as we go out into the highways and the byways. We want to be able to permeate God's love and in and through us. And so last week, one of the things I drilled down on right from the beginning of the year is that we have it. There is contained within us believers a download from God that allows us to have it, and so we need to just visit that. And obviously, last week I spoke on having having effective prayer, and that's another thing we do have. We have the opportunity of having effective prayers. And so as we access the fullness of God, it comes as we understand how to operate in effective prayer. So, and obviously as we are continuing and finishing off this month, which Coastal has now become the February is the month of fasting and prayer, I thought I'd touch on prayer and drill down on it. Drill down on it. Sounds like I'm in a well, but boys are working their best. I understand. I was a sound guy forever. Every demon in hell comes out and badges sound, because it's the airwaves where they hang around. But I just want to let them know that we win, we win, we win. Hallelujah. So yeah, 1st of March. And so as we approach February, we go through February and we kind of pray and start focusing on our lives, take a stock of where we're at. And so when we jump into the beginning of the year for us, which is the 1st of March, which we celebrate the anniversary, we would jump in with a lot more focus, a lot more intentionality, so we'd be able to continually see the fruitfulness of God in and through our lives. And so that's kind of our journey as a family. And so But you have it as a series that was triggered from a statement that Peter made as he said a prayer over a lame man that was born lame and was placed at the gate Beautiful. And Peter and John were going up to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was a prayer meeting happening. And as they approached the gate, they saw the lame man. And this statement is something that kind of awoke this thing that I'm talking about. And it says here in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, it says there, but Peter said, obviously that the man was begging for alms like he would. He says, Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. And when he said, that what I do have, I give you, grab me. And I want you to tell you that Peter's prayer was short, sweet, to the point, and it was effective. And so I'm talking about effective part two today. And I want to just talk to you about being effective and unpack some of the stuff. Because some of the stuff that has come to us as we've journeyed with God, and or we've been through different denominations and preachers with great hearts have sent some things that are just not right. We want to just unpack it, visit it, and see, are we being effective and fervent, and do we believe right? And so let me journey. I don't have all the answers. I haven't arrived, but I sure have left. Okay, so kind of I'm talking from that place. But James 5:16, the B part of it says, the effective fervent prayer of the righteous has great power. Effective fervent prayer. So I looked at that word fervent. Fervent has great warmth, enthusiasm, and intensity of spirit. Now when you're effective, you understand that there's a fervency that is in our prayer. It comes with a great warmth, and that warmth always reminds me of God's warmth when he comes with that prayer, and you know something's happening. Something's moving. I know that some warmth went through that lame man's body when Peter grabbed him. And there was an enthusiasm. What? Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, far better than silver and gold, I give you. There was an enthusiasm and an intensity of spirit came out, and the prayer brought that lame man to a place where he was walking, not only walking, but leaping and praising God. And so fervent is just not put there. It's an expression of exactly what needs to take place in our prayer. The New Living Translation says that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And we will need to be this. We need to be that walking testimony where we say, man, when Coastal prays, things happen. Why? Because we have just realized that God wants us to be that divine vessel through which favor flows. And we want to be that in position for that. This following statement was the summary of last week's message. Effective prayer is agreeing and declaring what God has done. Ineffective prayer is asking God to do what he has already done. And so what we got to do is find out, are we effective in our prayer? Are we standing declaring exactly what God has already done? Or are we just begging and pleading with him for stuff that he's already done? He's already done it. How can I do it again when I've already done it and I've given it to you? And so we ought to align ourselves with that. And so obviously James 4:3, it says this, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. James is clear. I mean, James, if you understand James's life, he had calluses on his knee. This boy knew how to pray. And so he is encouraging us that we need to pray accurately and not amiss. So let's consider Peter's prayer being effective and fervent. Peter knew what he had resident within him. Because he said, what I have, I give you. Do we know what we have? And is it what we pass on when we pray in belief and understanding? Do we have that? Peter knew he had authority. And what authority he spoke from? He spoke of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He didn't talk about Jesus from Mexico or Jesus from Puerto Rico. You know, they have a lot of names that have Jesus in front of them. But no, he knew that I spoke from Jesus of Christ of Nazareth. And it was clear that he knew the authority in which he said, I have residence within you, and I speak that. And so we see Peter knew the authorities. Jesus spoke. Peter also spoke an instruction, get up and walk. In his prayer was an instruction and says, get up and walk. Peter followed up with an action where he took the man by the right hand and raised him up to his feet, helped him up to his feet. And we see this effective prayer and we think, wow, maybe Peter was just that specially anointed person. But I've unpacked to you with many scriptures, and Paul has spoken it, that this is something that is with us as believers. We can do what Peter did. We can see that what Paul had cloths laid on him, those cloths touched and affected people and healed them. We have the same thing. We see the thing through Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake. We see A.A. Allen, Amy Simple McPherson, men and women of God that have walked, and this power has flowed through them. And it's because they knew how to have an effective prayer. But can I talk about the backside of effective prayer? Because here we have it announced in Scripture. Luke documents it in Scripture about how Peter spoke to this lame man. But can we speak to the backside of Peter? Now, Peter, you understand, walked with Jesus. He changed feet all the time in his mouth because he always was saying the wrong thing. He was always, he cut off the guy's ear and when they came to arrest Jesus. I mean, and then God mightily used him when he says, who do men say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven. So you knew that he could hear, and he knew how to hear God. So he had that. And then he goes two verses later and says, no, Jesus, nonsense, you're not going to get crucified. And then Jesus has to rebuke him and said, get behind me, Satan, because you can be mightily used of God and mightily be used of Satan. Because that's what happened. He rebuked him. And so here we see Peter going through and denying Christ. Then you see Peter getting invited to the fish barbecue when Jesus was resurrected, and had a conversation with him and said, Peter, do you love me? I'm giving you the backside of a relationship that happened with Peter that brought him to the place. So when he came and spoke a prayer, he was speaking it out of a relationship that he had. It's important that you understand that, because here I could give you, and when people take it, and many people do, because that's just our nature. Okay, Rod, give me a formula to effective prayer. I'm not going to give you a formula. I'm going to give you keys to a relationship who can teach you how to pray effectively. And his name's Jesus. And if you don't have that relationship, church, I'm telling you, you're going to retard your prayer life. You can't just have a formula. I'm not going to give you a formula. Don't take Peter's thing and say, okay, Peter, okay, he knew that God was in him. Okay, he prayed in Jesus' name. Oh, and then he gave him instructions. And then you turn it into a formula. No, look at the backside of it and understand what Peter's life was like and how he journeyed. And suddenly he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And suddenly he gets up, the man who changed his feet all the time because he never could get any sentence right. And he could preach and get how many thousands? 3,000 come to the Lord. You understand, the backside of an effective prayer is a relationship. There is the public side and there's the private side. I'm just telling you, for effective prayer, let's have a look at our private side with relationship with God. So it's important to see that. Effective prayer comes from a relationship, a journey, a learning over time. We need to understand that. A relationship with our God over time brings a hearing, brings a confidence, brings a boldness in prayer. And I tell you that I've journeyed with the Father and Jesus and Holy Spirit for 40 years. And I've learned a thing or two. I haven't got it all waxed. I'm still working it. But I tell you what, it comes by an understanding and hearing. So consider Peter engaging the lame man. That there behind it was a whole journey of relationships. Highs, lows, mess-ups, rejecting the Messiah. All those things was in his journey. And the Father says, I still love you, Peter. and I'm still going to let the power of God flow through me. So don't matter what mess we've made of our life, God still wants to use you. God still wants you to be the vessel which He wants divine favor flow. Yes, the Father will grace and grace the immature and sincere prayer of a new believer. I know that sometimes I've said some crazy things and God actually answered the prayer. And I'm thinking, God, huh? And as I journey along, He says, no, that ain't going to cut it anymore, my friend. You've got to get into the Word. You've got to understand my heart. You've got to understand how my approach to this. And so you journey with that. We grow, we mature in relationship and understanding of God and His kingdom. You understand the bigger picture. Suddenly you understand it. And so your approach in prayer and how you speak is differently. And it develops a thing called hope in us. A hope. This is not wishful thinking. It's a confident expectation. I just know my dad. And when I've gone through hell and backwards, I know that my dad's fingerprints are not all over that. Religion may say, oh, God's just teaching you something, brother. He's just molding you. What kind of dad does that? I don't do that. And I don't cut it as the best dad in town, but I know that I don't do that. And so why would my Heavenly Father do that? This won't happen. No. And so I have that confident expectation when we come to that place in prayer. Not wishful thinking, oh God, I'm not sure if you will. I don't know if it's your will. You got to understand how the scriptures inform your relationship. Man, I just know my dad. He loves this person so much. He wants that person to be walking whole and healed. And so I need to get the deliverance of what Jesus accomplished at Calvary to that person. How do I do that? What words of faith do I need to speak? How do I approach it? How do I unlock so that there's faith in the heart? So because I'm confident that my Father is not saying, I'm not sure if you're going to get, I want you healed. I'm not sure if you are. No, if you have that question, that doubt and unbelief, then I'm telling you what, it's just going to erode your faith. And we don't want to hear that. And so as you journey in relationship, John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. And so the Father stops prompting you. Jesus, by His Holy Spirit, starts prompting you. And so when you hear His voice, you learn His ways and you understand His work. And so we understand exactly how He does it. And sometimes religion puts such a hard edge on God and portrays God to be this aggressive and non-tolerant and man, He's just trying to teach you something. Please, we've got to get away from that rubbish. Because if you read, if you've got those glasses on, I always say if you've got yellow glasses, everything you look at is going to be yellow. So if you've got the glasses of that Father is like that, and that's how God's treating us, then we're going to look at Scripture and say, oh, yeah, you can see it, yeah. That's why He did that, eh? No, He's not. He's not like that. He's not my dad. Not the God I've served for 40 years, man. The backside of effective prayer is knowing the great shepherd. And He loves us. He absolutely adores us. Look at this scripture here in Ephesians. I found it this week and just blessed myself with it. Sammy's going to hear about this week. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You know, you've read it in Ephesians, man. It's so high you can't get over it. It's so wide you can't get around it. It's so deep you can't get under it. And it's so big, this love ball that God throws at us. He just absolutely loves it. And it goes on and says that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Here again, we're talking about God's fullness. I'll tell you what, I'm going to drill down on this as well as we go through the year. But we've got to understand how loved we are. That He absolutely loves us. And if we don't allow Him to love us, we will not have effective prayer. We will not be effective believers in the workplace or even in your home, even as a being. Because we can't do anything outside His love. You've got to allow Him to love you. I know as a dad that I love my kids, but if my kids just avoid me, don't want to be around me, don't even want to connect with me, how can I express my love on them? We've got to understand that's what happens when we don't allow God to love us. Yeah, we've been taught by religion, yeah, you've got to love God, you've got to worship God, you've got to give to God. And God says, man, you've got to understand, I've got to first love you before you can even do anything effective. You've got to let me love you. That's why I created you, so I can shower my love on you. And if we can do that, it so blesses us and blesses everything that happens around us, including effective prayer. the New Living Translation says it, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You understand, when He saturates you with love, His love, suddenly you are this vessel where power flows through, life flows through. Why? Because, man, you're standing in a right relationship with a God who absolutely loves you, and you are aware of it, and you're agreeing with it, and you're walking with it. And you do that. Wow. So effective prayer is receiving and experiencing God's love. Effective prayer comes from that. I just know when I get in my prayer closet, man, I'm going to speak some intimate stuff and declare some intimate stuff, and it's going to be out of a relationship that I have, knowing my God hears me when I speak. Sometimes we go on and on and on thinking God can't hear me. He says, man, I love you. I'm attentive. I'm leaning, waiting to hear from you. And so we need to understand that. Another key is agreement. Oh my gosh, effective prayer, we need to agree. And Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Now we need to understand that in the Word of God, there is promises. There is things that have been provided for us. And God says, I need you to agree with me. Unless we agree, it's fruitless. And so God's wanting us to agree with His Word. And sometimes we're not agreeing with it. Matthew 18:19 says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Our relationship with God builds on trust, which brings agreement. And I trust my dad, and I trust that he says, by his stripes, I'm healed. I trust that. I trust that, and I go to the bank with that. I'm not wavering. I'm not questioning it. I'm agreeing, saying, God, yes. So the issue in front of my life, or this issue that I want to agree with this brother or this sister, I'm agreeing because I trust you. I'm agreeing, and there's such power in agreement. The two agree, touching anything is done by my Father in heaven. And so we agree. So it's important that you understand that as Peter agreed, knowing what was in him, and also the will of the Father, because while he had walked with Jesus all these years, and he knew the will of the Father was to heal everybody. You think Peter didn't see all the people that Jesus healed? And you must be fully persuaded by then that, man, there's nothing else but healing God wants to do. Provide for these people, love these people, because why? He walked with it. And so we walk this relationship out, and we see it happening in and through Peter. And so as he agreed, that lame person started walking. And when I want to just give you this note, just in passing, when we want to pray with somebody, can we find out exactly what they're agreeing on? Some of them believe that the surgeon will do a good job and the surgery will go well. And you are believing, man, for a miracle. Well, there's no agreement there. So what I've got to do is I've got to stand with them and say, I'm going to believe for great surgery as well. Because the Bible says we're to agree touching anything. So always ask the person, what are you believing for? And agree with them. If you can coerce them with some of the things you've learned and brought them along, I say, you don't want to really believe for a miracle here, or you believe for, but always get to a point of agreement and then walk forward with that. Can I say that effective prayer also comes from being flexible and open to be adjusted? And some of the stuff that we've handed down, Mike, you must tell your wife to phone you at a different time, okay? That's all right. But I tell you what, we've been handed stuff down. Have you been with people that suddenly they pray in King James language? Thinking, Lord Jesus. You understand that my father understands sign language and redneck? He doesn't. He can understand all of it. And you don't have to go to King Jimmy to actually have God so, wow, man, you're speaking the holy language now, King Jimmy. No, 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 no. Please. Isn't it profitable if we know that we can adjust our prayers and get better results, that it's good to be flexible to adjust? Also, man, length of prayers. You're thinking, yeah, man, God is impressed because I've been praying a long time. And you keep on and on and on and on and on. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. And the father's saying, please, can you just wind this down? I got the point. I understand the whole thing, man. You understand, Dad? When I went there, I got the flat tire. He says, yeah, I was with you the whole way. So why do you keep reminding me the whole story all over again? And we go on and on. This length of prayer is not a prerequisite for effective prayer. So please spare me when you go pray. Don't go on forever. Just let's get to the point. Nail it. You say, well, Jesus prayed all night. Well, I found that he prayed all night in Luke 6:12, and then maybe he prayed one other night, all the night through. But one night he prayed all the way through because the next morning he chose the apostles. I think that was fairly weighty. Because I always think, man, wonder what the angels thought when Jesus arrived in heaven and said, okay, is it done? The kingdom's on the way on earth. Says, yep. What did you do? I left it with those 11 people. What? Those 11 people? Scary stuff, hey? Can you believe it? Yeah, those 11 people and the Holy Spirit. And you say, okay, angel sigh of relief. And okay, maybe there's a possibility that the kingdom will advance. But that's what happens. And so we've got to understand that it's also mentioned in every gospel. So it sounds like Jesus had eight full nights of prayer. No, maybe once. Possibly twice he prayed all night. But he doesn't. But look, we had this thing, Larry Lee. Did you not tarry for 1 hour? And so we had this whole thing about tarrying 1 hour. And so you get up at 5 o'clock and say, okay, I've got to pray for 1 hour. And man, that's torture. Because you think, man, okay, I'm praying and look, and not only 5 minutes has gone. I thought, man, it's so non-relational and so painful. Hey, so when Smith Wigglesworth was asked, do you pray for long? He says, no, I don't pray for long, but I don't go long without praying. Hey, have you heard of breath prayers? I can do breath prayers. Because you go through the journey, say, Dad, I mean, that's beautiful. Man, that's amazing. Wow, God, remember that situation? I just thank you again for you see the breakthrough there. And you breath pray all the way through. Look at some of the short prayers Jesus prayed. Peace be still. We were there not even a month ago on a body of water, 20 miles long, 12 miles wide, crazy storms on it. And he says this huge prayer, peace be still. And the storm stops. Calms the storms with that. Then I went and we saw the building where those four guys lifted the roof and dropped that guy down on a pallet in front of Jesus. And Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. Heavy prayer. I mean, it took longer for them to remove the roof than for that prayer. Eh? So I tell you what, then he says, Lazarus, come forth. This is where he says, Lazarus, because if he said, come forth, everybody in the graves would have got out. So he says, Lazarus, come forth. And what, it raised the dead. Man. What about spending lots of time, no time with prayer? It doesn't affect our relationship with Jesus. It doesn't. So, I didn't pray today. Oh, Lord. I wonder where I'm ranked with Jesus today. I think I'm in trouble because I didn't pray. My child doesn't call me or chat with me or text me. I'm not mad with them. I don't love them any less. I don't kick them out of the family. Forget that. It would be nice to hear from them more often than I do. But I'm just saying, even Jesus as a man had developed a prayer relationship with the Father because he was a man just like you and I, and he had to learn, and he journeyed, and he matured with wisdom and stature. He had to learn these things, and he went away, and he prayed, and developed this relationship, and developed with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, and developed a relationship with him where he could have effective prayer. So effective prayer is important, and it's all based on a relationship. This scripture here from Daniel 11:32 says, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And it's all based on relationship. So I'm not going to give you a formula. I'm going to tell you to go and get a relationship. That's the way we're going to have effective prayer. And so when we go into this journey of relationship, just have a look at us as human relationship. And obviously the one I have the best relationship with is Valerie. And we have this private relationship that we have, and then we have this public relationship that we have with people seeing us, and then there's the times when we don't. We have different quantities of time that we spend together. We have different levels of communication. We have some communications that are intimate, some intense, very interactive. She's a debater. She doesn't just sit down and just take the music. I've got to debate my little body off and brain off to try and stay ahead of her, but she's always one up on me, Aunt Valerie. But she's, that proximity is over. Sometimes I'm talking to her by phone and by text messages, or she's just in the office and I'm just chirping from my lounge and say, hey, how's it going? Do you need some tea? And it's that kind of communication. So there's different levels of communication, and then there's the intimate times when we're in each other's arms. There's that time, those kind of, and there's different topics we talk about. Now translate that to a relationship with God. We have those different levels of relationship, and it can't be one that's always intense and one-dimensional on one level. It's as we have relationship with one another, that's how we have this prayer and relationship with God, and it has different levels, different intensity. You have a look at David. And he used to get ticked off, and he says, man, let the kids be wandering beggars. He would really let the washing up. Man, he would really get upset. And then then God would get him and says, but Lord, at the end of the day, you know, let your will be done. You know? And so, you know, you have those times when you throw your toys. God doesn't get nervous when you throw your toys. No, he doesn't. But you have this relationship. We understand that it's important that we've got to have all these dimensions to our relationship with God. And it's sad that every time we come, it's because we've got a list of, my God, I failed here, and I failed there, and I failed there. And he says, yeah, I know, I saw the whole shooting match. I was being with you the whole time. And guess what? I still love you. So why don't I just come and say, Dad, you know, I've blown it. You know all of them. I'm not listing them to you, but thank you that you love me. And let's get on with it. And then suddenly, oh, God, I've got the shopping list, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need that. And Father said, I know you need all that stuff, but what did I do at Calvary? I said, he became poor that you may become rich. Man, get some of that. And then, my Father, I need to pray for the so-and-so, and I need to pray for so-and-so. If we took all that away from your prayer life, what kind of prayer life would we have? Zero. Because that's all. Everything we come to the Father is just around that. And it's not positive. And life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we're not positive. So we come in positively agreeing, saying, God, yep, these people, they need salvation. They are pre-saved. We know that. So find a billboard. Find a track. Get a message on the radio. But boy, we're hounding them with the gospel. They're already saved. They just don't know it. And you have that positive attitude. And saying, oh, grumble alley. Come on, let's put the faith tight up. And let's get God. Because it's sad that understanding that if we don't have a quiet time and we don't talk about our failures and all our needs and all the other things, then we kind of just retard our relationship. We retard our relationship. How sad is it? I have the opportunity and the pleasure and the potential to talk to Valerie all day, but I limit it to 1 hour or 15 minutes. How dumb can you get and still breathe? I can talk to her all the time. Oh, and you want to torture your kids and your family? We have an hour where we read the scripture and we pray. And we call it happy hour. Why don't we lace life with prayer and with teaching and people go along? Example, my son Daniel. If you're watching Daniel, see how God has delivered you, brother, my son. He'd play rugby, and he'd always be in the sun bin. Why? Because he used to be called Punching Palmer. He would punch somebody in the game, and he'd be put in the sun bin. And so we'd have to talk to him about his temperament and about his attitude and how self-control. And so we would lace things like, you know, you want to open Proverbs 12 and verse 16. Just read it to us. It says, yeah, a fool shows his annoyance at once. So how does that relate to your sun bin situation? He says, yeah, I'm a fool, Dad. I keep doing this. Yeah. And so we changed his name to Patient Farmer instead of Punching Farmer. So we changed our confession and he changed his attitude, but it became a learning thing as we laced it. And, you know, as we're going along and we're saying, oh, there's a need. Don't wait for a happy hour to go and pray for the need. No, we just lace it into our drive and pray and ask God. That's how we just, and it becomes effective, fervent, exciting, enjoying, and the kids saying, oh, I love this, I can do this, I can pray this. So the prayer and communion with God doesn't have to always be intense and emotional and electric and having that wow factor. Listen, In our marriage relationship, we have some intimate, tough moments, but it's not always. Understand that. Listen, I'm not blonde, Ethan. Please. All right? You got to understand, you can't have that kind of intense relationship with God the whole time. Your body can't handle it. God would love, but you can't handle that intense time of hardly being able to stand because His presence is so weighty and all that. No. Sometimes you just got to know that God's there. You may not feel a thing. You just know that God's there. Why? Because you've journeyed a relationship and you know that He never leaves me, never forsakes me. He's always with me. And when I speak, He's right there. And so let's just be real with God. Let's be authentic with God. And so, I mean, think about Adam and Eve. Did they have a whole, they had no needs. They didn't have any relationship issues. They didn't have any of that. So what did they do? They had time to just, in the cool of the day, talk to the Father. I want to close with this because it's part of something I've been saying and it's also headed in Matthew 7 as effective prayer. So I looked at it. Effective prayer. Matthew 7:7, running through it and landing this plane. Okay? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives and everybody who seeks finds and everybody who knocks, it will be opened to you. And Amplify says it this way. Ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. And Rod, you have said, stop whining and continually repeating it, having these long prayers. And what does that scripture say? It's saying you've got to ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking. Well, you think that nagging and nagging and nagging God is actually going to impress God? No, it doesn't impress God at all. You keep nagging and nagging. Can I present to you this, having an effective prayer? Can I just say it to you this way? Who knows everything about everything? Do you know everything? Did you know everything? I know Holy Spirit knows everything, but do we know everything? No, we don't. Do we know how to pray for everything that comes our way? No, we don't know how to pray for everything. Yeah. So can I say that, because you know, I have this joke, with charismatics, we have the most expensive brains. If you have a brain transplant, the most expensive brain you'll buy if you have a brain transplant is a charismatic because it's the least used. Okay? And so it's for things like this. Okay? When I come and ask and keep asking the Father, I ask the Father, so Father, I have this situation. Now, Father, I'm needing wisdom in how to do this. And I'm asking. Firstly, asking is verbally. Asking is dialogue. Asking is communicating, saying something. And I'm talking to the Father, so I'm asking you about this. I'm asking you again from this angle, but what about this angle? And I keep asking Him because I have a relationship with Him. Sometimes I try and say something to Valerie. She doesn't get it the first time. And I try again, and I try again, and eventually she gets it. She said, why don't you say that the first time? I said, man, I've been rehearsing this all day trying to say it. What? That's just real. And sometimes I'm asking the Father, and He'll prompt me to ask another way. And He'll prompt me to ask another way. Why? Because it gives me dimensions and understanding, and eventually it builds my faith, and I get to see it because I'm asking. How about seek? Seek is mentally engaging, looking, studying, looking at scriptures, meditating on it. Sometimes we're required to meditate on it. Andrew Womack, God just prompted him. He said, I want you to meditate on raising the dead, and all the scriptures that go about raising the dead and what took place with raising the dead from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And he was just studying it, and he was prompted by it. And then suddenly he got a call. Your son has just died. It took him 5 hours to get to his son. You know what happened in 5 hours? And he had this arsenal in him that had this all this understanding. And when he got there, spoke to his son was raised from the dead. You got to understand, when you keep asking, I want you to understand this. Father, can I ask you, but what about this? So you asking and keep on asking gives you understanding. Seek and keep on seeking gives you understanding. And then knocking is an action. I've got to get up and do something. Well, Peter, I mean, he had an action. He stretched out his hand. He grabbed them by the right hand. He picked them up. There was an action that went with it. And there is a continuous action that I have to have to, with my walk of faith. I can't just pop in and say, hi, Val, and give her a hug and leave. I continually go past her and give her another hug now and again, and later on, while I'm continually having this action that's happening that expresses my love for her. And when I pick up the phone and call people and encourage them, I'm doing something. And so that's what, so this, if I can present to you, and it's, this is Rod's version of the scripture. Okay? Ask and keep on asking in different directions, not in doubt and unbelief or whining or repetitious, but asking to get understanding, to build your faith, so that when you say, okay, now I'm publicly confronting this and I'm going to say it in Jesus' name, you understand. You've had a dialogue with the Father. Remember I said you need to pray before you pray? That's what I'm talking about. I go praying, saying, Dad, I don't know how to pray about this situation. I don't know how to confront it. Can you lead me to the scriptures and remind me and build my faith up and bring enlightenment to me? Does this help you, church? When you say, understand how to build your faith up so that when you come to that place where you see the lame man, you have this now word and God says, grab him by the right hand, turn to walk. And you do it. Because why? You've been asking. You've been seeking. And now it's time to go in action. And I want to encourage us. That's what we did. The scripture continues and talks and closes with us. It says, you parents, if your children ask for you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if you ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you as simple people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you good gifts to those who ask? So we confidently know that when we're asking these questions, we're not going to have demons talk to us or the devil talk to us or outside influences talk to us. We are asking the Father and so we got to have confidence that our Father is going to answer us and give us encouragement on that. So we need to be confident in a good, good Father. We need to build a relationship with a good, good Father. So we can come to a place where our prayers are effective, that we are ambassadors of Christ, declaring and displaying His goodness and His greatness. Amen. Musicians, if you can come and join me at the stage. Hallelujah. Woo. Good day to be alive, amen, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Effective, fervent prayer of a righteous. Understand we're righteous. So don't hold back on prayer. Just go, and you'll learn as you go. How do you learn to ride a bicycle? Get on. You may fall off, skin your knee, get back on. That's how you learn to ride a bicycle. Get back on. Keep praying. I mean, Smith Wigglesworth prayed and raised 25 people from the dead. He says, but do you understand how many morgues I went to, how many places I went to, and how many dead people I prayed for before 25 were raised from the dead? It's a journey. A journey of growth and a journey of maturity. That's what we need to understand. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. I also want to give you an opportunity as the musicians lead us in a song that if you have any prayer requests, guys, thou would orchestrate a team of people to come pray for you. They have oil to anoint you. I want to pray for you. And the musicians will quieten down. And as we get to that part and we'll dismiss you to go, we'll pray for those that come up. And we want to believe. We don't want you to leave without having God, giving God an opportunity and faith to arise and prayer to be answered. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, hallelujah. Father, we bless you.